morning.
Good morning.
It's a joy to welcome all of you to our Lord's Day service, and we hope the service is a blessing to you. The flowers today that grace our communion table are in loving memory of Dave Olson. We had a celebration of his life on Friday, and we're so grateful for the beautiful flowers today. We'd like to welcome Cindy Steele back. It's always a joy to see her. For our announcement, there will be no chess club today or next week, so that please disregard that in your bulletin. Del Mar Dahl service is at First Baptist. Visitation will be 1 to 3 with the service at 3 p.m. Del Mar Dahl, as you know, was the pastor of Door County. And I always said to him, Del Mar, when I grow up, I want to be just like you. And we celebrate his life and his witness among us. And we'd like to invite you all next Sunday at 5 o'clock. There will be a very special Halloween concert with Colin Welford and a harpist, and it should be delightful. So we hope that you will come to that concert, and the details are written in your bulletin. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord. Psalm 84.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts.
My soul longs indeed to give thanks for the works of the Lord. My heart sings for joy to the living God.
Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise.
Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion.
They go from strength to strength, for the God of gods will be seen in Zion.
O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob.
Behold our shield, O God. Look on the faces of your people.
Better than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness.
For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly.
O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you.
Throne.
Our New Testament lesson is taken from the Apostle Paul's second letter to Timothy. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first offense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our gospel lesson is taken from the book of Luke. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. Please join as we sing Holy Spirit, Light Divine on page 223.
And the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What are your supports? The things that you rely on, especially when stuff goes haywire in your life. What are your supports? I'm sure there are people that are your supports. I'm sure there are values that we look at as supports. It's important to have those foundations, to have those supports when everything goes haywire. And I think of the Apostle Paul. What were his supports before he converted? Well, his supports were his upbringing, his ethnicity. His supports were all the privileges that he had that other people might not have had in those days. He was what one would call a zealot. He was a zealot for racial purity. He was a zealot for the government. And it was especially helpful for him that being a Roman citizen, his zealotry was also buttressed by political and police power. And he used it with impunity. He was very deeply concerned with his religion. And the place that he would have said he found the most purity, the most joy, was of course the temple in Jerusalem, the lovely dwelling place that David spoke about in the psalm that we sang about today. How lovely are your dwelling places. That particular dwelling place. And he wanted to secure that temple. He wanted to secure his religion. And there was an outlier group, people of his ethnicity, but they had gone to follow someone that Paul thought was out of the norm. And so he was going to force them into submission, the ends justifying the means, and the means were violence. And so if you know the story of Paul, he tried to put people into submission by political violence and by rounding up these outliers and sending them to prison and certain death. In fact, he was present at the first martyr's death, Stephen, and it said he was in full approval. In fact, as people were stoning Stephen, he made sure that he was holding their coats so that they could get good aim. This is the kind of man he was. And he was the darling of the Roman populace. But one day, he met Jesus. It was not a way we'd want to be converted because he was knocked right off his horse and blinded. But you know, with desperate times, desperate measures, most of us can be convinced without being beaten up like that, but Paul needed strong convincing. And his whole world changed. From a man who dealt with racial purity, here was a man who said, there is neither Jew nor Greek, barbarian nor free, male or female, we're all one in Jesus. What a revolutionary thought. And it came through the power of God, through God's Spirit that transformed this man. And I think God has a sense of humor, because here was a man who was called to a race other than his own. A man who would have never dreamed of that in his former life. So where was his dwelling place? Where were his supports once all those other supports were taken away? Well, of course, it was the fellowship of the church. He began to establish churches, and he formed friendships of people of very different races and ethnicities. And this was his fellowship, this was his support. But then there came one day when even those supports were taken away. And in this letter to Timothy, we see a man who is isolated, who is in prison, and who is about to be executed. And there's a very poignant part of the scripture when he was talking about being hauled in front of the magistrate. And did you catch that? He said, at my first defense, no one came to my support. They all deserted me. Now, these were brother and sister Christians that deserted him. Why did they do that? It wasn't because they any to a race other than his own. A man who would have never dreamed of that in his former life. So where was his dwelling place? Where were his supports once all those other supports were taken away? Well, of course, it was the fellowship of the church. He began to establish churches and he formed friendships of people of very different races and ethnicities. And this was his fellowship, this was his support. But then there came one day when even those supports were taken away. And in this letter to Timothy, we see a man who is isolated, who is in prison, and who is about to be executed. And there's a very poignant part of the scripture when he was talking about being hauled in front of the magistrate. And did you catch that? He said, at my first defense, no one came to my support. They all deserted me. Now, these were brother and sister Christians that deserted him. Why did they do that? It wasn't because they